This episode contains material on gender transitioning. If this could cause concern for you, please contact Transfolk WA, TransHub, and/or Transforming Families. Links in the show notes. Please take care of yourselves and your loved ones.
Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Disability Sunflower Stories. This episode we are joined with Danny. So welcome Danny, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, and thank you for having me. My name's Danny. I'm a transgender woman. I'm 46 years old. I've only recently in the last 2 to 3 years openly come out to my family and told all my friends, and I decided that because of what I've been through, my best way to help people would be to actually give back and empower them through my story. And that's what Kin is helping me to do. I'm currently going through my Certificate 3 in Community Services and also training to be an ambassador with Kin Disability Services.
Yeah, amazing. So how did you first end up at Kin and what kind of brought you in?
I was volunteering with another charity. I'd been doing the food pickups for them for a while, and that's when I bumped into Shah, and she could see that I was struggling even though I was trying to hide it the best I could. And at that point, I hadn't actually come out and admitted to everyone that I was transgender yet. It was still something I kept hidden underneath. And that's when Shah invited me into her office to come just have a talk and meet the team, and I've never looked back.
Oh, great. And what's your connection to country and the Indigenous nation?
I was born in Kalgoorlie. Unfortunately, from what I've been told by my family, my father is Aboriginal and he wasn't allowed in the hospital at the time, which is why I have no record of him on my birth certificate. So I only have their family's word to go on. Now, I've always been welcome in the Aboriginal community. I've always felt at home and more accepted by them than by apparently the rest of the community that is meant to be my own. Yeah, I've grown up in so many rural country places. I've just seen there's no assistance, there's no outreach, and it just has to stop.
Yeah.
We need to remember the people that are out there as well.
Yeah. How was your life growing up with a disability?
It was interesting. I knew at the age of 14 I was different and I suffered from what's now known as gender dysphoria, but back then it was just, you're a weird kid. The only way I could feel comfortable in my own skin was if I had my lingerie on underneath, and so I'd be constantly checking to make sure that my bra wasn't showing through my jumper. Even in 40-degree heat, I'd have a jacket on so the boys couldn't see what I was wearing underneath. I never liked my own body. It just never felt right.
Yeah. And what's been your greatest challenge kind of growing up in your culture with your disability?
The fact that my disability isn't outwardly visible. It's all internal and mental, and most people look at me and just seem to think that I'm just your average, everyday, normal person, when if they actually stopped for a minute and spoke to me, they'd understand that we all need someone to talk to. We've all got a few problems, and it's not been easy, but I wouldn't change it. It took me 46 years to learn to live for myself. I'm not going to change now.
No. And how do you connect with your culture now? Is there a barrier because of your disability, or do you find that they're quite welcoming?
Those that do take the time to talk to me, we become fantastic friends. I have a couple of Aboriginal elders that like to wander past and stop by for a coffee, and they don't normally do that with any other normal everyday person. They just keep going about their own business. I have a lot of Aboriginal family, that extended family, that whether I like it or not, they've adopted me, and according to them, I'm part of their family. So,
oh, that's nice.
But yes, I found they are quite accepting. A couple of the older generation are very standoffish, but I win them around in the end.
And what's changed since you've been connected to kin?
Well, since I started connecting with kin, I've noticed when I first started, I'd only got to see Sho once or twice, and then it was Christmas time. And by the time I got to see her again, I'd already came out, and she had no idea I was transgender. So the third time I seen her, I turned up into her office in a dress, and she didn't bat an eyelid. And instead of being shocked and not knowing what to do, she offered me training and assistance and said, "We've got the perfect job for you," which just about blew me away. I thought, she's got to be kidding. She's got to be like the rest of these places I've been to. They're just trying to get me on the books and up their numbers. But no, it wasn't a joke. Sha went above and beyond to help me, and I have nothing but good things to say about her. She's a fantastic lady.
Oh, that's lovely. What have you kind of done differently since being connected to us?
Well, I've gotten out of my, let's say, funk. I make myself go out and engage with the public. I've gone to a few community centres and joined in there. There was a cooking demonstration one. There was a craft one I've been to that was very interesting. And I tell you, you ever want to giggle, sit around with a couple of older ladies. Oh, they made me laugh hard. I've reached out to my classmates. Quite a lot of them actually have friends or family members with gender issues or disabilities, so they didn't actually even know that kin existed. So I enjoy spreading the word.
Yeah. And tell us about some wins for your community that you've achieved.
Just bringing to light that it doesn't matter what race, colour or creed you come from, everybody has mental issues. Everybody suffers, and it is stupid to suffer in silence. So the fact that I can now make gender dysphoria a bit more visible to people, it's with me, it's in their face. They can't just turn the page because I'm right there in front of them. They have to accept it. They don't have to accept me, but they have to accept that people can be different.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. How would you say that kin has changed the way you view life?
Drastically. Before kin, yes, I was doing well. I was holding my own accommodation. I was volunteering. I was semi-healthy, but I didn't have a purpose. I didn't wake up in the morning with a spring in my step. Since joining the advocacy program, and just, it's only been a couple of weeks, but I've already had feedback from a few people that I've spoken to, and they're giving me positive feedback, and it's fantastic to know that I've actually helped someone else. I might not have any way to financially help someone, but I have a lot of emotional support, and if that's what people need, then I'm happy to give.
Yeah. And you've also started a certificate. Would you like to tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, I'm doing my Certificate 3 in Community Services, and that's going pretty well. It's been a bit of an eye-opener how far behind WA law is compared to everyone else. We really are. The diversity of the students in the class, it was an eye-opener to see. It wasn't all people like me. It was people from so many different walks of life. And they've all got different struggles, and they've all got different problems. And yeah, I'm actually quite enjoying it, and even considering going on to do the Cert 4.
Oh, great. That's amazing. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about regarding your contact with kin or your life in general?
Well, my contact with kin it's a saviour to me. I was lost. Shah's seen someone with a skill. I don't know how she's seen that. But she did, and she polished it out of me. And growing up, my biggest fear was public speaking.
Really?
Yeah. Stupidly enough, I could not do it to save my life. But I was never passionate about this topic subject.
Yeah.
Now it's different. If someone asks, I'm more than happy to share. I'm not going to be judgy. I've been called all the different names under the sun, so I'm not going to jump down someone's throat for asking me a question. We only learn by asking.
Yeah.
So by being nasty to someone because they asked the wrong question, you're just generating fear. So don't do it.
Yeah. Do you have any final words for any listeners who maybe have a disability or they may resonate with your story? What would you like people to take away from your story today?
Well, what I'd like them to take away is that there is help out there. It may be a little hard to find, But we're trying to make a bit more noise so people know we're out there. I'd given up. 46 years old, I'd given up on life. I was happy to just let the days count down until I got put into this ambassador program and shown that my worth is actually worth something.
Yeah.
You know, I'd always believed I had self-worth, but it just never had a measurable value towards the community in my eyes. Well, Sha proved me wrong.
Yeah.
She made me open my eyes and then she challenged me. If that's how you feel, well, then come and do something about it. And so I did.
Yeah.
And if anyone out there needs any assistance at all, we might not be the right company to help you, but we can definitely help point you in the right direction. And we don't mind. It's what we do. We're here to empower other people and to help this world get along.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Danny, and thanks so much for sharing your story.
If this episode has raised concerns for you, please contact Transfolk WA, TransHub, and or Transforming Families. Links in the show notes. Please take care of yourselves and your loved ones. This has been a JM Podcasting Services production. Link in the show notes.